Today's shiur is Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. As we have learned, Baruch Hashem, many times, the halacha is that if somebody is a shomer and he swears falsely, it's a shomer chinam, and he swears falsely that the item that he was watching was either stolen or lost. The halacha is if Edom come and say that he was lying and saying that it was stolen, he has to pay kefil. If he, however, admits that it was, that he actually wasn't stolen, that he misappropriated it himself, then he's chayiv to pay the keren, the principal value, a chaymish, and a carbon asham. For Aveda, in a situation where he said he was lost, even if Edom come and say that he was lying, he doesn't pay kefil. But if he does admit that he was lying, he would have to pay keren b'chaymish v'asham. We have also learned, and that's the basic principle that we begin today's shiur with, that one, a shomer, cannot be chayiv both kefil and chaymish for the same act. It's either going to be kefil or chaymish. However begins the Gemara, by Ram Bachama, Mamar HaMachayiv kefil, Poitra Ben HaChaymish, is the understanding, because he's chayiv kefil, he can't be chayiv chaymish? Adilma, was the way to understand the halacha we just said, is that the shvua that makes him hamachayv se kefil, the full shvua that because of it he's chayv to pay kefil, patrusoy min chaymish, exempts him from paying the chaymish. And of course these are nice words, but the Gemara immediately wants to know, hey chidami, what is the practical ramification of these two ways of understanding the halacha? Says the Gemara, it will be relevant in the following situation. If there was a situation where somebody falsely swore that the item that he was watching was stolen, and then he retracts, and this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, it's not a situation, says Tosfos, the first he falsely swears that it was stolen, and then he falsely swears that it was lost. Because as we've learned previously, says Tosfos, once he swears that he falsely swears that it was stolen, it becomes his halachically. And therefore, claiming afterwards that it was lost is a meaningless claim. Rather, says Tosfos, the way to understand the Gemara is that first he swore that it was stolen, and then he comes and retracts and says, I don't have the item that I was watching anymore, but not because it was stolen, rather because it was lost. And he's just retracting and revising what happened. Furthermore, says Tosfos, that the order of the Gemara is very specific. It's that first he claims that it was stolen, and then he claims that it was lost. But were he to say the reverse, that it was first lost, and then it was stolen, again, once he claims that it was lost, there's no more room for a claim that it was stolen. And then afterwards, Ba Edom HaKamaisa, Edom come and say that his claim that it was stolen is false. We know that it was, that actually he kept it for himself. And regarding the second claim, Vahayda Basreisa, regarding the second claim that it was lost, he admits that he was lying. So now the Gemara says, "My, what would be the halacha? Do we say, Mamun HaMachayiv Se Kefil, Poitra Min HaChaymish? Since he's Chayiv Kefil, because the Edom said he was lying about the claim that it was stolen, he can't be Chayiv Chaymish in this case anymore. For Chayiv Le Kefil, because he's already obligated to pay Kefil because of this item that he was watching. Or do we say, Dilma, or do we understand it, that Shvua Machayiv Se Kefil, Poitra Min HaChaymish? There was a Shvua that obligates him to pay Kefil, if that shvur obligated pay him kefil, then he can't be chayiv chaymish because of that shvur. And therefore the shvur that he made, that the item was stolen, obligated him to pay kefil, because the Edom came and said that he was lying, and therefore he pays kefil and not a chaymish. But the second shvur that he falsely swore that it was stolen, the loymachayv lekfeila, that shvur did not obligate him to pay kefil. There were no edim saying that that was a false shvur. It was his confession that identified it as a false shvur. So we have two separate shvurs, and each shvur will bring a separate chiyuv. The first shvur that was found to be false by edim will bring an obligation of kefil, and the second shvur of avad will bring an obligation to pay chaymish. To chayevu chaymish will obligate him to pay chaymish. Amar Rava points out, Rava Toshma, we can learn the answer to this question from the following braisa. Amar lechem in a short, if somebody says to somebody, heichen shari shugan after, where is the animal of mine that you stole? V'loy meloy ganafti, and he says, I didn't steal any animal from you. Mashbiachani, and he says, I'll make you swear to that effect. V'amra amen, which as we've been learning is considered having made a shvur. V'edem me'edem ma'isa shagonvoy, and then Edom come and say, yes, you did steal it. So the halach is, mishtam tashlumi kefil. He'll have to pay kefil. V'mhoidem ma'atzmoy, if instead of Edom coming and saying that he stole it, but he admits it himself, then the halacha is mishalem kerem b'chayim shvashem. Then the halacha is that he'll pay the halacha of kerem b'chayim shvashem, which is always the halacha when somebody admits to their lie. Ask the Gemara, v'hacha, Edom hu d'mechayev lekfeila. The Edom are the ones that make him pay kefil. And yet we say, hoyda ma'atzmai in, only if he admitted without Edom coming, that's when the halach is, he's chayv to pay the chaymish. Aval hoyda ach Edom, if he'll admit after Edom will come, loy, then he will not be chayv to pay a chaymish. V'isal kadaitach, if we're going to suggest that shvua mechayv se kefil, that the shvua that obligates him to pay kefil exempts him paying chaymish, ask the Gemara, amai hoidach edim loy, then why, if he admits after the edim testify, does he not have to pay the chaymish? Michti, hashvua loy kamechayv loy kefila, it wasn't the shvua that obligate him to pay the kefil, it was the edim that obligated him to pay kefil. So let the shvua be mechayiv him the chaymish. The edim will be mechayiv him the kefil, and the shvua will be mechayiv him the chaymish. The fact that he only pays if the edim came before his confession kefil and not chaymish, shmamina, from here we see the moment I'm a chayv so kefil, poitra ben chaymish. It's if it all emanates from one object cannot oblige somebody, obligate somebody to pay both kefil and chaymish. And if he's paying kefil, he won't have to pay chaymish. Shmamina. So that's clear that one individual with one object only pays either kefil or chaymish. But now the Gemara asks a different question. By Ravina, asks Ravina, Chum shev kefil betrei gavri. Here we have a situation that there were two shomrim on one object, and one will have, as the Gemara will describe, a chiv to pay chaymish, and one will have a chiv to pay kefil. Is that a tenable situation or not? My, what is the halacha? So first again, the Gemara tries to identify what is the situation we're discussing. Heichidami, says the Gemara, Kagon Shemasa Sharel Shnei Bnei Adam. He asked two people to watch his animal. V'tarba Tanis Ganav, and they claimed it was stolen. Chad Nishba V'hoida, once swore falsely that it was stolen and then confessed, v'chad nishba bo edim, and one swore falsely that it was stolen, and edim came that it was actually he was the one that stole it. And as Tosfos again points out, the sequence the Gemara identifies is very specific, because if it were referring to a situation of edim coming prior to the confession of the first individual, as we just learned in the previous piece of Gemara, once edim identify him as a liar, his confession is meaningless. Furthermore, points out Tosfos, and we just mentioned this the other day, there's a machlokes earlier in our Masechta, what is the halacha of Maida B'Knas V'Achkach Ba'Edim? Is it still considered a situation of Maida B'Knas? Says Tosfos, our Gemara clearly is not following the opinion of Shmuel that says the Maida B'Knas V'Achkach Ba'Edim is not considered a Haidah B'Knas, because here our Gemara is considering the Haidah, the confession of the first Shomer, as a valid confession, even though there are Edom afterwards that come and say the exact same thing. So it's obvious that our Gemara holds that Moed B'Knas V'Achach Bar Edom is still considered a situation of Haidah B'Knas. So here we have the situation again of two Shomerim. One is a Maida, that the halacha should be that he's chayiv chaymish, and one is being caught as a ganav by edim, that he pays kefil. And now the Gemara asks, "My, what will be the halacha? Mi aminin b'chad gavru kapit rachmano." Only in the previous Gemara, where we were referring to one shomer, does the Torah teach us the loy mishalm chumshav kefla, that one shomer on one object doesn't pay both chaymish and kefil. Avo betray gavri, when talking about two individuals, hai nishalm kefil, for hai nishalm kaimshay. The one that was caught by edim will pay kefil, and the one that admitted will pay chaymish. Idilma, or do we say, aloy chad mimayna kapir rachmana, the Torah said regarding one object, that both chaymish and kefil are not paid because of one object. And here too, both of the shomrim's obligations emanate from chad mamayna, from one object, and therefore we can't have both of them, one paying kefil and one paying chaymish. And the Gemara says, take it, this question stands. The Rishonim debate, according to this second side of the question, that from one object you can't have kefil and chaymish paid, what would be the din? Do you pay kefil? Do you pay chaymish? Some Rishonim say that you pay kefil, because kefil is the larger and more significant obligation. Others say that you would pay chaymish, because chaymish comes from somebody's own admission, and that's what has to be paid. And yet, other Rishonim, this is obviously a very practical approach, say that we see whatever happened first. If the, and as we explained in our Gemara, since the admission, the Haidah, as Tosfos said before, must have taken place because of the, because the admission must have taken place before the Edom came. So therefore the halacha will be, those Rishonim say that you would pay Chaymish, because that's the first Chiyuv and not Kefil. There's another interesting question. In a situation such as ours, where only one is Chayiv Kefil and one is Chayiv Chaymish, how do we look at it? Do we say that each, that one Shomer will pay half Kefil and one Shomer will pay half Chaymish, if according to the first side? Or do we say in a situation where there's only an obligation to, for one of them to pay Kefil, he becomes obligated not just to pay half kefil, but actually he'll have to pay the whole kefil. And this is actually based on a machloikis apoiskim. Drama seems to say that two individuals who are shomrim on an item together don't become arevim, don't become guarantors for each other automatically. And only if they specifically accepted upon themselves such an obligation are they guarantors for each other, otherwise they are not. The Shach disagrees with the Ramah and says that if two people accept upon themselves together to watch an item, they automatically become a raven for each other. And because they automatically become a raven for each other, according to the Shach, if only one is able to pay the kefil, then he won't just pay half the kefil, he'll pay the whole kefil. The Nesivis wants to suggest that there really is no machloikis between the Ramah and the Shach. And the Ramah is saying that they don't become Arif Kablin. We know that there's a stronger type of Arif, known as an Arif Kablin, which means that normally a regular Arif means that if you don't collect from the, if the person who owes the money can't pay, you go to the Arif. An Arif Kablin means that even if the person who owes the money can pay, still you have a right to go to the Arif Kablin. And that's what the Ramah means, says the Nesivis, that they don't become Arif Kablin for each other, but an Arif for each other, says the Nesivis, they will become. Furthermore, says the Or Sameach, this discussion that we're having now, that one becomes Arif for each other under certain circumstances, says the Or Sameach, is only regarding Kefil. But as far as the Chaimish obligation, that certainly is based specifically on one's confession, and one Shomer's confession has nothing to do with the other Shomer's confession, and therefore if we have two Shomerim and one confessed and one didn't, the one that confessed will pay half a Chaimish, and it will certainly not have any obligation regarding the other person's obligation. If he confessed, he'll pay his half, and if he didn't confess, he will not pay half the Chaimish at all. One has nothing to do, one's confession has nothing to do with the other one's confession. Ask the Gemara another question. Boy Rapapa, Trechumshi, if we have a situation that there's two Chaimshim obligated, or Trekfeli, or there are two Kfelim to be paid, what is the halacha? Do we say b'chad gavra, all from one person? Mai, can one person be obligated to pay two chaimshim or two kefils or not? Is it only chaimish and kefil that one person can pay, but two chaimshim and two kefils he does pay, or that also he doesn't pay? Heichidami. So first again, the Gemara tries to understand what is the case that such a situation would come up. Heichidami. What is such a situation? Says the Gemara, it's a situation shetan tanis avad, where somebody swore falsely that it was lost, and then Haider, he admitted that he lied, and then v'chazon v'tan tanis ovid v'nishba v'haider, and again he falsely swore that it was lost and he confessed that he was lying. So there would be two chiyuv chaimshim for each confession. Inami, or another situation would be kigon shetan tanis gana v'nishba, he falsely swore that it was stolen, and then Adam came and said that he was lying, and then the same thing repeated itself. He falsely swore that it was stolen, and Adam came saying that he was lying. Would he be chayif two kefils? And the Rishonim discuss, Tosfos discusses a number of points. One point Tosfos points out is, how do we accept the second shvuah from this individual? We discussed just the other day that somebody who's choshar al shvuah, somebody who we know swears falsely, we don't accept his shvuas. So how do we allow this person to swear two times? He's a chasher al shvua. Secondly, once Bezdin accepted a shvua, how will Bezdin accept another shvua on the same case from the same individual? A number of answers are given to these questions. Regarding the issue of chasher al shvua, one teretz given is that the entire issue that someone who's chasher al shvua may not make a shvua is only midrabbanan. Midaraisa, even though he's chasher al shvua, he can make numerous shvuas, and that doesn't disqualify him from making a shvua. Another teretz is that he did tshuva between each act of making a false shvua. That means he falsely swore, was caught by Edom, did tshuva, and then afterwards again fell back to his bad ways and made a false shvua. And in fact, I saw based on this teretz of the Rishonim, where Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses an interesting shaila. We know that in many areas of halacha, Edom are required. Kosher witnesses are required. If for Kedushin, for Gittin, for many important areas of halacha. So he says, what would be the halacha if somebody made a shvua, we know it was a false shvua, which disqualifies him from being an aid, and now we know he does tshuva, and he keeps on having this syndrome of making false shvuas, doing tshuva, going back to his old ways. Will we accept, is his edus going to still be a kosher edus? And it would be very relevant. He was an aid to Gedushin. He was aid to Gittin. So Rav Zilberstein says that if he was an aid in the time that he was about tshuva, then his edus will be a kosher edus. And the fact that afterwards he keeps on reverting to his bad ways does not disqualify the shvuas that he made in the interim. The Rishonim continue to say, it also could be referring to a situation that he made shvuas in a number of batei dinim. And since he made shvuas in a number of batei dinim, different batei dinim, then each shvuah is considered a separate shvua for which there is a separate chiv. Another teretz that's given, and it's along the same lines that we just said, is that the Torah says that if somebody makes this claim, he has to swear. The fact that he might have previously made this claim and sworn falsely has nothing to do with the new claim. Every time a shomer makes a claim, he has to swear. Because that's what the Torah requires be the procedure. And in fact, Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Micha Shlomo uses this concept to answer a very interesting shaila. He says, we know that the halacha is that under certain circumstances, and we're not going to discuss a situation of bikuach nefesh, a person is allowed to go to a doctor on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But the halacha is that the doctor, there are certain things that he's allowed to do and certain things he's not allowed to do. He's not allowed to be mechal Shabbos unless there's a real need for the patient. So what would be the halacha if somebody goes to a doctor who's not yet religious? And this doctor, the patient knows, won't be careful as the Shulchan Aruch requires. And he'll be mechal Shabbos even when it's not required. May he go to such a doctor or not? And says Rav Shlomo Zalman, just like in our Gemara, we're learning that if the Torah requires him to make a shvua, we don't have to take into consideration the fact that this person has a record of lying. If the Torah says that he has to make a shvua, he has to make a shvua. So too, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, if the Torah allows the patient, under these circumstances, to visit the doctor on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he's allowed to go to that doctor and not be concerned that this doctor perhaps will not follow the halacha that requires him to limit the Chil Shabbos as much as possible. Tosfos also says that in the case of Tan Tanis Oved for Nishma V'Hoida, Tosfos takes out the word Hoida, because Tosfos says if there was a Hoida, once there was a Hoida, it becomes the property of the Shomers. and therefore his later claim that it was lost will be a meaningless claim. And therefore Tosfos has the Giras of Tan Tanis Avad V'Nishba, and then he made another Shvuah of Tan Tanis Avad V'Nishba, but there was no Hoidah in between, because once there's a Hoidah in between, says Tosfos, it's too late for him, then any further claims of his will not have any halachic meaning. So now, we have a situation where the person made numerous shvuas, and he was moida, that it was lying, or he made numerous shvuas that it was stolen, and he was caught, that he did that by Edom. Mai, what will be the halacha? Mi aminin, trei gavni memoina kam rachmona, deloi mishtama loicha memoina. As we said at the beginning of the shiur, the Torah says you can't be chayiv, chaymish and kefil for one object. V'hocha, chad gavnehu, and here it's one type of assessment. It's both, it's chaymish twice, it's kefil twice. So that isn't what the Torah taught us. Adilma, the Torah says you can't be chayiv two times to pay from one object, even if the two payments are identical. Toshma, Dama Rava, the pasuk says the chamishasa Yosef alav, hatay rips chamishas harbe lekeren achas. The Torah says you can pay chaimish many times because of one object. Shma mina, you could pay numerous chaimishes. And as a machlokes rishonim, how to understand the Gemara's answer? Clearly, the Gemara is teaching us that you could pay chaimish more than once for one object. But what does the Gemara mean as far as kefil is concerned? Some rishonim say that the same thing that applies by kefil will apply. The same thing that applies by chaimish will apply by kefil. And just like you could pay numerous chaimish, you could pay numerous kefils. Others say that the Torah teaches us this thing strictly by kefil, by chaimish, that you could pay numerous chaimishin. But kefil, perhaps, you could only pay one kefil for one object, not anymore. The Mishnah Masechet Bamitzia, which the Gemara is going to quote in a moment, teaches us that, as we've been saying, the halacha is, if somebody's a shomechinim, and he swears that the item that he had was lost or stolen, he doesn't have to pay back for that item, especially if he's swearing the truth. What would be the halacha that the shomer refuses or declines to make a shvua, and rather than make the shvua, he pays for the item that he was watching that was lost or stolen? And then the ganef is found. To whom does the ganef pay the kefil? He certainly has to pay the keren back to the shomer, because he has to compensate the shomer for the keren that he paid. The question is, who gets the kefil? And the Mishnah Masechet Bamitzia that we're going to learn in a moment, quote in a moment, clearly teaches us the halacha is that the shomer is entitled to that money. As the Gemara Masechet Bamitzia explains, the owner of the item, in gratitude and in recognition for the fact that the shomer paid for what he really wasn't obligated to pay, makes him the one that should be entitled to the kefil payment, should it come. Al Gemara Av asks a different situation. Tavur Bailam Lashmar, Lashomer, the owner of the item obligated the shomer to pay, V'nishba V'shile, and he swore. Now, after swearing, he doesn't have to pay. But we have here an interesting situation. Instead of not paying, he goes out and pays anyway. And then Vukar Aganef. And then the Ganef is identified. Under these circumstances, Kefil me, who would get the Kefil? And as the Rishonim tried to identify the scope of the question, what would be the halacha the Rishonim discuss if the Shomer turns out to be the Ganef? Will the Gemara's question still be applicable? Is the opinion of some Rishonim. Well, some Rishonim say, if the Shomer himself is the Ganef, that's not the Gemara's question. Certainly, if the Shomer himself turns out to be the Ganef, the halach is that the money will go to the owner. Here, it's not the Shomer who ends up being the Ganef. Who will get the Kefil? And that's a machloikis of Abaye and Rava. Abaye amal abal b'kadim, the owner under these circumstances gets the kefil, and Rava amal l'mish the abal b'kadim, the owner gets it, and Rava amal l'shkadim atzloi the shomer gets it. Abaye amal abal b'kadim. Abaye says it's the owner. Kiven atzche b'shvua. Since the shomer did make the shvua, so the halacha that we said the Mishnah teaches us m'sech the that the owner in gratitude for his shvua gives over the ownership of the item to the shomer doesn't apply here because he did swear and therefore loy makna l'kfeila, he doesn't give him the rights to the kefil. Rav amar l'mishib kadin atzloi. Rav on the other hand says it goes to the shomer because kivin the shilim, since at the end of the day it's the shomer who paid for the item, he's entitled makna l'kfeila, he receives the kefil. And says the Gemara, the kamifluki b'diyuka de masnisin. The basis of Abaye and Rava's machlokes is actually how to learn the Mishnah that we've been discussing from a sect of a Metziah. Because the Mishnah says that not hamafker etzel chaver behem kalim. Somebody is appointed as a shomer, v'nignavu ashavdu, and they are stolen or lost. Shile, and the gan and the shomer prefer to pay. Versus v'lay rotz l'shava, and didn't want to swear that it was stolen. Shrei Amru, as we know the halach is, Shem Echinim Nizbe V'yotza. A Shem Echinim, if he swears, will be absolved from paying. And now Nimtza Ganef, and the Ganef is caught. So the Ganef is caught, V'sham Tashlame Kefil. He has to pay Kefil. If the Ganef turned out to be Tavach HaMachar, we know the halach is, he's Mishalim Tashlame Abav HaMisha. Says the Mishnah, Lemeu Mishalim, who will the Gana pay, the Kefil or the Dal Vehei to? Says the Mishnah, Lemi Shevkadin Etzloi to the Shomer. If on the other hand, says the Mishnah, Nishbe V'loi Rotz L'Shalim, the Shomer took up his rights to swear and not pay, and then Nimtza Ganav, the Ganav is caught, he has to pay Mishalim Tashlumi Kefil. If the Ganav was Taveichu Mochar, he would have to pay Misham Tashlumi above a Chamisha. Under those circumstances, he would pay it Labal B'Kadim to the owner of the object. So Abaye takes his position Daik Mireisha, and Rava bases his position Miseifa. Explains the Gemara. Abaye Daik Mireisha, Diktani Shilem V'Lei Rotzul Shalim, Shava. Only because the Shomer was prepared to pay and not swear is the halacha. Tam de lo rotz l'shava. Only because the Shomer didn't swear is he entitled to the kefil. Hanishba, once he swears, af a pish shilim, even though he ultimately did pay the owner for the item, then the halacha is l'mi mishalim, to whom is the kefil or dal vehe paid? L'bal b'kodin, to the owner of the object. And Rav daik misayfei. And Rava bases his position on the Sefer. Because the Sefer says, Nishba v'loi rotz l'shalim, where he swore and refused to pay. Only says Rava, because Tamad v'loi rotz l'shalim. Because he ended up not paying. That's why the Shomer is not entitled to the Kefil or to the Dalet V'hei. Hashile, if he ends up paying, Av b'sh Nishba, even though before he paid, he first swore, still, l'mi mishalim, who will get the kefil of dal v'hei? L'mi shebekadim etzloi to the shomer. Ask the Gemara, l'bayi kasha seifa. Rava based his opinion on the wording of the seifa. What will Abaye do with that wording? Amlach Abaye, answers Abaye, hachiktani. This is the way to understand the seifa. Nishba v'loi rotz l'shalim, kaidim ashvur, if he swore and he didn't want to pay, and he didn't want to pay before he swore, but only after he swore. El achashvur, l'mi mishalim, who gets the money? L'bal b'kodin, to the owner of the object. And that's how Abaye explains the sefer. L'rova, on the other hand, asked the Gemara, kash reisha, which the reisha seems to follow the opinion of Abaye. Amlach Rava explains Rava the reisha of the Mishnah in the following manner. Hachitani. Shilein v'loi rotza lamed b'shvuasai, if he paid and he didn't want to rely on a shvuah, rather shilein, instead of relying on the shvuah he paid, l'mi mishalim, then if the shomer ended up paying, who gets the payment? L'mi shevkadin etzloi, to the shomer. Ask the Gemara. Tavu Balam the Shomer. The owner asked the Shomer to give back the item that he was holding. The Nishbar, and he swore. The Hukar Ganef. And then the Ganef was caught. Tavu Shomer Vahoida. The Shomer goes to the Ganef and says, "You are the Ganef of this item for Hoida," and he admits that he stole it. Tavu Bailim, but the owners of the item said, "You are a Ganef," but a Kafar, and he denied it, that he wasn't a Ganef. Viviu Adam, and he brings Adam. Now, we remember the halach is that a Moida B'Knas, there are a number of important halachas that we have to remember. One halach is that a Moida B'Knas is potter. So if somebody is a Ganef, but before Adam identify him as a Ganef, he admits that he's a Ganef, then he's exempt from paying the kefil. There's another very important halacha. The halacha that Moida B'Knas is potter only applies when somebody is moida to the person who he would be obligated to pay. That means if I stole from you and I would have to pay kefil if I was caught through Adam, and before Adam, or if there were no Adam, identify me as a ganef, I admit that I stole, but I admit it to you who I stole from, then I don't have to pay kefil. If I admit it without admitting it directly to the person, then the din of Haidar B'Knas doesn't apply. There's actually a debate in the Rishonim. There's a concept that we find many times in the Gemara of Haidar Spaldin Kamei Adam Dami. Is the same din there too, that we only apply the concept of Haidar Spaldin Kamei Adam when the Baldin was Maida, when the Loiva was Maida to the Malva, or his Haidar doesn't have to be directly to the Malva. But that's not our Gemara. Everybody agrees that in situation of Haidar B'Knas, you have to be moida to the person you stole from. But now the question is, who is the person that the ganef is responsible to? Is it the Shomer, because he's the person that he stole from? Or is it to the owner of the object, because he's the person that's going to receive the kefil in this case? And therefore, Tav Shomer V'Haidar, he was moida to the Shomer, but he was not moida to the owners. Minifta hagana by dar shomer. Will this be considered a situation a moida b'knas or a loy nifta hagana by dar shomer? Or it's not considered a situation of a dar b'knas because he's not the one that's going to get the kefil. Amar Rava. So Rava says it depends, and this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. In be'emes nishba, if the shomer swore truthfully. When he swore that it was stolen, that was actually a truth. So then he remains the Shomer. Because as the Rishonim explained, since his Shvua was an honest Shvua, then the owners of the item want him to remain a Shomer and this object. And therefore, he's the one that's entitled to retrieve the object, and therefore it's considered a Haidar B'Knas when the Haidar is made to him. Nifter Haganah B'Haidar Shomer, and therefore it will be considered a situation of Moida B'Knas. However, in B'Sheka Nishba, if he swore falsely, Loi Nifter Haganah B'Haidar Shomer, that it's not considered as if he is still a party to this object. Once he lied, the owners don't want him to be involved with this object anymore. He's a liar. And therefore, the halacha will be that the haidar b'knas to him is not considered a haidar b'knas. That's the way Rashi learns. There are other Rishonim that have just the opposite girsa. If he's saying the truth, then he's finished. If he's lying, he's still, by lying, he becomes the owner of the object, and he's still involved. But we're going to follow Rashi's Gersa. Boy Rava. Now, Rava asked the following question. And again, as I said, we're following Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. Amad b'shava b'sheker. He wanted to swear falsely. which, as we just explained, had he sworn falsely, the Haidah to him would not be considered Haidah B'Knas. Here, however, he never carried out his plan. Omad Lishava B'Sheker, he wanted to swear falsely, but they never actually allowed him. It never came to fruition. Mahu, what would be the halacha? Is it considered like he swore falsely, and therefore Haidah B'Knas to him is not considered a Haidah, or is it not? And the Gemara says, Teiku, that actually remains a question. Rav Kahana Masni Kachi. That was the way Rav Kahana learned this Gemara. Rav Tavyumi Masni, however, Rav Tavyumi discussed it the following way. By Rava, Nishbala Sheker Mahu. According to the first version, that Rava holds that if the Shomer swore falsely, he's certainly not considered a party over here. Because by swearing falsely, he removed himself from being a party. The question was only where he wanted to swear falsely. According to this version, according to Rav Tavyumi's version, Nishbal Sheker Mahu, even if he actually swore falsely, do we still consider him an involved party or not? And that remains a take-um. And this question of somebody wanting to do something but not actually being able to carry out his plans, I saw as the basis of a shayla that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses. We know in a situation where there are two partners, and one partner steals from the other partner, the halacha is clear that that is the basis for automatic dissolution of the partnership. And the partner who was stolen from can immediately demand, and the halacha gives him that authority, that the partnership be dissolved. What will be the halacha, however, discusses Rav Zilberstein, where one partner caught the other partner attempting to steal, but not being successful? Would that also be enough of a basis for automatic dissolution of the partnership? He says, based on the Gemara, particularly on the first sad in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, where he wanted to swear falsely, but he never was successful, we're not sure how does the halacha view it. Here too, perhaps, just because he wanted to steal, but if he was never successful in carrying out his plans, perhaps it's not considered basis of dissolution. However, he wants to say the two cases are not really similar. A shomer is only a shomer until he swears falsely. Once he swears falsely, he loses his ability to be a shomer. Before that, he's still a shomer. The issue by a partner, if I have a partner that's trying to steal from me, even if I was successful, lucky enough, or rather said, I had the siyata d'shmaya of being able to catch him, that doesn't change the reality that he wanted to steal from me, and that I don't want to be a partner with an individual who acts that way, and even if he wasn't successful, it may certainly be very much the basis to allow the halacha to allow the partnership to be dissolved. Ask the Gemara the reverse of the previous case. Tavur Bailam L'Shomer. The Bailam asked the Shomer where the item is. And instead of making Shvur, as we learned earlier in the case of the Mishnah Bava Metzia, the Shilay, the Shomer pays. For Hukar Aganef, and not Aganef is caught. Tavur Bailam B'Hoida. To the owners of the item, the ganav confessed, tavu shomer v'kafer. But to the shomer, he denied. But the shomer was able to bring edim, vevei edim. He was being able to bring edim that he's lying. So again, are the owners of the item considered a party here or not? That it should be considered a situation a moed b'knas or not? Nif the ganav b'haydars b'alam aloi. Mi aminin. Could the Shomer say to the owners, Atun, kiven the shiklis l'chudmei, since you got the keren from me, as the Mishnah Masech B'Metziah taught us, is talikis l'chumahacha, you are no longer parties to this object, and therefore the confession to you is a meaningless confession. Idilma matzah amrilei, the owner could tell the Shomer, Ke'echad at Avdala Milsa, you did us a tremendous favor that instead of swearing and exempting yourself, you paid. We also feel very indebted to you. Anan nami avdinaloch. We also feel indebted to you, and therefore tachinam basa ganva. We remained involved in this case to try to find the ganif. Shekal anon didon, v'shekal atidoch, so that you should get what's due to you, and we should get that's what's due to us. And since the owners therefore have interest in this case, the owners are saying we remain involved here because we were concerned about you, the haidah to them should be considered a valid haidah. And again here too the Gemara says teiku, the question is not resolved. Itma, says the Gemara, nignava ba'oinis v'hukar aganif, in a case where an item was stolen in by list of mezuyin, that's considered an oinis, and therefore even a shomer socher would be potter under those circumstances. Amar Abaye, im shomer chinam hu, if it's a situation of shomer chinam, writes ima din, he can settle with the owner and sue the ganif himself, or the shomer chinam writes a nishba, can swear since it was stolen, so he has a right to swear, and he's free of any obligation. Im shomer socher hu, however, says Abaye, if the shomer was a shomer socher, Isa imay din, he should settle with the owner. He should try to, even though he's not obligated to absorb the loss because it was considered an oinus, he still has to go, according to Abaye, through the trouble of getting back the item. And therefore, he should pay the owner and litigate with the ganif himself. Rav Amar, however, Rav disagrees, and he says, Echad zeh vechad zeh, both by the shomer chinam and by the shomer socher, oisi moedin vein nishba. He has to pay the owner and not just swear to exempt himself from any obligation. Says the Gemara, Lema pligad Rav Huna bar Avin, should we say that Rav's opinion is in disagreement with Rav Huna bar Avin? The Shalach Rav Huna bar Avin, Ningnes of Oynes, Vukur Aganef, it was a situation of Lista Mezuyin, Im Shai Mechinim, who says Rav Huna bar Avin, clearly, either the shomer retrieves it from the ganif and then pays back the owner, or the shomer could swear and absolve himself. That's when the halacha says Rav Huna bar Avin, "Oisi meidin v'ein nishba." Similar, exactly the same as what Abaye said. Amalach Rava, "Hachem ma'iskinen shekod v'nishba." Here we're referring to a situation where the shomer swore before the ganif was caught. So, since at the time that he swore, he wasn't aware of who the ganif was, so therefore, even a shomer socher, and certainly by a shomer chinam, he has no further responsibility. Still, says Rava, even though he swore before the ganif was caught, were he to be a shomer socher, he would have to be the one to go after the ganif, and then, even though he already made a shvua, and explained to Rishonim, because since he's a shomer socher, part of his responsibility of a shomer socher is that if we ultimately identify a ganif, it's his job to go after the ganif. Says the Gemara, "V'rotz imaytzedin, rotz nishbekama." Doesn't say that he can still swear. It doesn't seem to mean that he already swore. Answers the Gemara Hachkam. This is the way to understand what he meant. Rotz shomer chinam oimid b'shvuasoi. He could just rely on the shvua that he already made, or rotz isumaydin. If you want, he could sell with the owner, and then afterwards go after the ganif himself. But Abaye and Rava clearly agreed that a shomer socher is required to deal with the ganif directly and get back the item, if possible, and as we just explained, even if he already made a shvua. And therefore, even though he's exempt from paying, it doesn't terminate his responsibilities. However, Rav Zutta Ba'i Lehochi, Nidneva Ba'inus, Vichsa Ganav Beisha Shaimer, if it was a situation of Aina, and then the Ganav returned it to the Shaimer's home, or Mesa B'Shia, and afterwards the Shaimer was negligent and the animal died. Mahu. Do we say that once it was stolen in such a way, he's no longer a shomer on this object? Idilma, kiven the hadra, once the item is returned, hadra l'shmirasai, he comes back to being the shomer. Rav Zutra clearly disagrees with Abayin Rava, because they hold that a shomer socher, even after he swore, has to continue, if the ganef is caught, has to try to retrieve the animal. So obviously, they clearly consider him still to be a shomer socher, still to be a shomer on this item. Rav Zutri, however, is not sure, and he's questioning that perhaps after the shomer socher even swears, his obligations are terminated. And the only question, according to Rav Zutti, is that's clear, that's the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, it's clear that his obligations are terminated. The only question is, if once the item is returned to his home, Rav Zutti's question is, does that re-establish or reinstate him as a Shomer or not? And that the Gemara remains with a takeoff.